We're turning in God's Word today to the Acts of the Apostles, or a better title would be the Acts of the Holy Ghost. So it's the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And let's begin at verse number 4, please. Acts 13, verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So who's the they? Well, it's Paul and Barnabas, two missionaries. And you notice it doesn't say that they were sent forth by the local church. It says they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The third person of the Trinity is intensely missionary minded. I want you to get that today, folks. Now, I know we have had quite a lot of missionaries lately and speakers, and maybe you've been wondering why so many. Well, it's just the way the Holy Spirit has ordered it and worked it all out, that these different missionaries and missionary reps have been here. So please understand that the Holy Spirit has missionary work right at the top of his agenda. He's intensely missionary minded. And guess what, folks? We, as the Lord's people, we ought to be intensely missionary minded as well. It's good to be on a missionary diet. David Livingstone, the great missionary, he actually said that to put your church on a missionary diet, and it will benefit the local church. It will strengthen the local church. It will make the local church vibrant and vigorous and full of vitality to be on a missionary diet. Keep the focus on the mission field. So the Holy Spirit is always sending his children forth. It's Paul and Barnabas here in Acts 13, but it's you and me today in 2024. Don't you find that he's always thrusting you back out to do something more for Christ? Thank you for your prayers for last Friday. It was a glorious day. And well, Kenny wasn't able to be there, but the Lord just guided and led that I would be up beside Foyleside again. And it's amazing how he just guides your footsteps and just dovetails everything together and things fall into place. So we were out on Friday afternoon in the glorious sunshine and for a solid hour, sharing the gospel in the open air. No gimmicks, no sideshows, just a microphone and preaching the gospel and reading the word of God. So thank you for your prayers. And let's continue to pray for one another, because you're faithful to you and you're doing your bit for him, wherever it is and whatever it is. And let's keep doing it. As we heard last Sunday night, Bill Woods, do something. The old saying goes, don't just stand there, do something. Oh, how the Church of Christ in these days needs to do something. As believers, we need to do something. God bless those of you who are so faithful. And you may not be in the pulpit or behind a lectern, but you're chipping away and you're doing your part behind the scenes. And you're not in the limelight. You don't get maybe much acknowledgement or praise for it. But someday you'll receive the well done from the lips of your Savior for what you're doing for him. So we better get back to our reading here. Verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, which just means the governor of the island of Cyprus. You may have been to Cyprus for a holiday, I don't know. But here's Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas. And they're not on Cyprus for a holiday. They're there to reach the lost. But there's this individual, this chap, who's an obstacle. The devil always has his obstacles. There was a busker there on Friday. And boy, they turned the volume up to drown us out, to drown the preaching out. The devil always has a bar Jesus. But you know that I'm not a shrinking violet, so I didn't say, I'm really sorry for being here. I'll just go away with my tail between my legs. I'll never come back. Sorry for offending you. No, you know that I didn't say that. But Satan always has his agents to try to hinder the cause of Christ. So this is what's happening here in Acts chapter 13. Well, verse 7, it says, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Folks, I want to emphasize this morning just how much we need the Holy Spirit and how much we will need him in the days ahead as we get closer to our Lord's return. The battle is heating up. There's persecution around. And I'm not even talking about Nigeria or North Korea or somewhere like that, where, I mean, there is horrendous persecution, isn't it? It's something like 4,000 Christians have been slaughtered this year already in Nigeria. Their only crime was that they loved Jesus Christ. You let that sink in. 4,000 believers slaughtered by Islam, the religion of peace. You've heard that, haven't you? Some peace. But I'm talking today about persecution in our own little province. Persecution is on our very doorstep. An anti-abortion protester at the Causeway Hospital, Coleraine, has been fined £250 in the first prosecution of its kind in Northern Ireland. The gentleman who's 38-year-old, young man, but he's obviously filled with the Holy Ghost, because he's prepared to suffer for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the preborn. The 38-year-old pleaded guilty to doing an act in a safe access zone at the Coleraine Hospital on October the 3rd last year, namely conducting a protest with the intention or being reckless as to whether it would have the effect of influencing a protected person in connection with their attendance at the protected premises. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it just means that he was trying to influence a mother and to stop a mother peacefully from murdering her baby in a murder mill. You do know that Coleraine Hospital is now a murder mill for the unborn. You know, by the way, the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald is now a murder mill for the unborn. Abortions are taking place. Wonder, would you be prepared to take a stand like this gentleman that we have spoken of today? Would you be prepared to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ? This is the thin edge of the wedge, folks, if I can put it like that. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why are we talking about the Holy Ghost today? Why did we speak to the children this morning about the third person of the Trinity? Why are we putting such emphasis on it today? Because I tell you, in days to come, we're going to be in a fight. A spiritual fight, a battle. And those who are fighting in their own strength, they're going to be cannon fodder for the enemy. Well, in Acts chapter 13, we find two men, in fact three men, who were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, and they knew the importance of being filled with the Spirit, and they couldn't wait to get into the battle. And by the way, that's just the way you are when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He drives you into the battle. Just as he drove Christ into the battle in the wilderness to fight Satan during the 40 days of temptation. And here we find that the Holy Spirit is propelling, if you like, these three men, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark, into the battle here in Acts chapter 13. I want you to think first of all about the apostle, because Paul the apostle is really the one that the Holy Spirit focuses on here. He's the vanguard, as it were, at the front of the army. In verse 9 of Acts 13, we're told, then Saul, who also is called Paul. Here is the first time that Saul is called Paul in the New Testament. Here's the first reference to Paul in the New Testament. It says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. This is a bit like gunfight at the OK Corral here. It's a bit like the Outlaws against Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. Only this is much more serious. And Paul makes eye contact with the enemy here, this man, this demon-possessed individual called Elymas, or to give him his other title, Bar-Jesus. You see, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, can see what's happening here. He can see that this individual beside Sergius Paulus, the governor or the deputy, he can see that this individual is trying to hinder the governor from hearing the word of God, from hearing the gospel. And in a situation like that, the Holy Spirit will take drastic measures. And the Holy Spirit will not shrink back, and the person who's filled with the Holy Spirit will not shrink back from this kind of situation when a soul is at stake. And Paul certainly doesn't shrink back. He's no snowflake believer. He's no namby-pamby, wishy-washy, airy-fairy kind of Christian. He's not an easy believism kind of person. No, he's made of tougher stuff than that. So, Sergius Paulus has invited the missionaries to come to him. They haven't forced themselves on him. No, it's the other way around. The Holy Ghost has given the deputy the desire to hear the word of God, and that's always the way it is. Whenever anyone has a desire for the Bible, it's always the Holy Spirit who has placed that desire in their heart. And Paul and Barnabas and John, their minister or attendant, their helper. So they arrive at the home of the ruler. And they're so looking forward to sharing the word of God with the governor. As again, everyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what they want to do. They want to share the word of God. And it's the same in the open air, folks, on a Friday. There's only one thing that will deal with the enemy. It's the sword of the Spirit. I could go out every Friday and stand and give my opinions and preach in flowery language and great oratory. I could have outlines and headings and a sermon so neatly crafted, but if the word of God is not there, it's just a complete waste of time. It's like taking a feather duster to the devil when what he needs is the sword of the Spirit. This book. And so Paul has the sword out, metaphorically speaking. He's ready to use the sword, Barnabas too. And they're praising God for opening this door. But then this individual, this chap, he steps in and he starts to twist and argue and debate. And he tries to cast doubt on the gospel and the word of God. He sneers. Maybe he even sniggers. But his aim, and of course it's the demon within him that's causing him to do this, the aim is to stop the deputy being saved. And I want to say that the devil will send as many demons across your path as he needs to in order to stop you being saved. He doesn't care if you're religious. He doesn't lose any sleep over that. You can be religious up to the gills. You can have all the religion you like. Satan loves that. But he doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be born again, because then you become a threat to him. Then you will start to do damage to his kingdom. And so Paul, how does he respond to this man who's under the influence of an evil spirit? Well, he doesn't, say, well, we better build a bridge with this chap here and make friends with him and try to win his ear and win a hearing. And We better tread carefully here, and let's sit him down and get him a nice comfy sofa and give him coffee and donuts and sweet talk him. That's the way that a lot of churches are going at it today. But not Paul in Acts 13. No, Paul just gets both barrels out right away, and he empties both barrels, spiritually speaking, into the enemy. In fact, there's five barrels, if you like, because he says five things about this man. You notice them there in verse 10. O full of all subtlety and all mischief. There's the first one. This chap, Bar Jesus, he was very crafty. He was a trickster. He was a deceiver. Folks, I know I often say it, but just be careful you're not deceived. That great sermon that Christ preached in Matthew 24, the sermon about the end times, you know how he started the sermon? Take heed that no man deceive you. Boy, that's something we need to remember in these days. Take heed that no man deceive you. Oh, how we need discernment in these days. It's very easy to be deceived. I've been deceived in the Christian life. I'm sure you've been deceived as well. But the problem is when you're deceived twice, when you make the same mistake the second time, that's the issue. The Lord won't hold it against you for being deceived the first time or making the mistake the first time. But when you do it the second time, you walk blindfolded, as it were, and you sleepwalk into the same thing again. Now, that's he has a problem with that. But this chap, he was a deceiver. And Paul was no match for him, and the other two men were no match for him, but the Holy Ghost was a match for him. And that is another reason why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in these days, so that we have discernment and we're not so easily fooled and hoodwinked. Boy, some desperate, seriously gullible Christians in the world, I'll tell you. They're 100 times more gullible than the unconverted. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll not be so gullible. Then Paul goes on to, so that's the first barrel, pumps it into the enemy. Second barrel, thou child of the devil. You see, this man, his name is Bar Jesus. You know what that means, son of Jesus. Son of Jesus, child of Jesus. Paul says, hello, you're not a child of Jesus, you're a child of the devil. You're one of the devil's brood. You don't belong to Christ. If you're not saved today, you're in the same category as this chap. You too are a child of the devil. Oh, but I've gone to church for years. My father, my mother, my granny, my granda was saved. So what? So what? You need to be saved. You need to be born again. The Lord wants you at the prayer meeting. Yes, the Lord wants you at the communion table. He wants you to be a child of the King, not a child of the devil. But if you continue to reject Christ, loads of people do it every Friday, hear the gospel. You want to hear some of the names you get called. But what are if a duck's back? There's souls at stake. But those who continue to reject the gospel and trample on the blood of Christ, they will be in the same hell that this man is in. This sorcerer, Can you imagine that? If you're not right with God, you'll be in hell with this demon-possessed man for all eternity. I mean, let that sink in. He's a child of the devil, Paul says. And then Paul says, thou enemy of all righteousness. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A lot of people like this man. A lot of people like Elymas today in the United Kingdom in 21st century. They're enemies of righteousness. They hate all that's good and all that's wholesome. And I tell you, there's a righteousness that is hated above all, and that's the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness which makes it possible for depraved wretches like you and me to be in heaven. Oh, Satan, he really hates that righteousness. The only righteousness that opens heaven's gates. And then Paul continues his assault on the enemy. This is a bit like the IDF going into Rafah to deal with Hamas, to finish off the battalions of the murderous thugs and monsters of Hamas. As the IDF go in to take the head of the serpent, Paul's going in to take the head of the serpent here now in Acts chapter 13. No messing about here, because he goes on to say, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? What he's saying here is, you're crooked. You're crooked. That's literally what it means. The right ways of the Lord, or the straight ways of the Lord. This man is crooked. He's as twisted as a corkscrew. But that's the way every sinner is outside of Christ. If you're not right with God today, if you're not a child of God, you're twisted. You mightn't like to hear that, but you are. So this was a formidable enemy here. But then in verse 11, I want you to notice, folks, as we finish off today, that this judgment of the Holy Ghost upon this sorcerer, this judgment is tempered with mercy. It's tempered with mercy. Because I want to tell you today, the Holy Spirit is so merciful. He's so kind, so gracious, so loving, so patient. I mean, God's word compares him to a dove. You'll get nothing more tender than a dove. You'll get nothing more harmless than a dove. That's the real Holy Spirit today. Maybe you're under the impression the Holy Spirit, oh, he's a very harsh, abrasive kind of person. He's cruel. He wants to damn me. He wants to make my life miserable. No, you've been listening too much to the devil. Because that's what he'll tell you about the Holy Spirit. For the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. Now, how do we know that there's mercy here in this judgment? Well, look at verse 11 and we're done when we read verse 11. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season, And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Did you notice the hand of the Lord was upon this man? Whose hand is this? This is the nail-pierced hand of the risen Christ upon the demon-possessed man. The nail-pierced hand upon this man wanting to save him and to deliver him from his darkness. I don't know whether Elymas was saved. I can only hope that he is in heaven, that we'll meet him someday. But then you notice it says that Paul says, "Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun." And we've all enjoyed the sun this past week. Did you say thank you to the Lord for it? We don't deserve it. You know, I said that one day in the open air. The sun was splitting the trees. I said, "Sun shining, God has been good." And it's not that we deserve it. We don't deserve it. If we got what we deserved, folks would get thunder and lightning every day. But it says here that he's going to be blind, not seeing the sun. Listen, for a season. It's a temporary punishment. It's tempered with mercy. Blindness for a season in order to recover this man out of the snare of the devil. And I'm glad that the Lord saves demon-possessed people and people who are involved in Satanism and witchcraft. Oh, he can save them. And we should be praying that he would save them. Let's pray just now.